It is time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Strom. The appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. They join us on a Tuesday morning, and we take a look at incredible prices, incredulous prices, and more as we look at the auction market. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are things post the weekend down in sunny Florida?
Oh, never a dull moment down here.
No.
I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
And it's a Skype related question.
All right.
When you call, it used to be that I would hear it ring, so I knew that what it was. But now what happens when you call, I hear a little, it sounds like a drop of water going boing, and it says join call. So I don't know if I need to make a setting change or if there's something at
your end. It's probably something that they did to make it a little different than the original. Do you get that same thing, Tim?
Yes, it doesn't. Basically, I have to have Skype open, and I wait for it to populate that the call's there, and then you have to hit it twice. It's like, yes, oh, join call. You know, it's like it's a double verification system.
It's the way Skype improves itself all the time.
Yeah. It's like that old saying, with friends like you, who needs enemies? That's the way it is with Skype.
Well, I haven't listened. They still have that god awful do 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 when you call somebody.
Yeah, they do.
That's what they should change. That's what they should change. Change it to an old fashioned damn phone ring. As far as I'm concerned, because that song is just drives me crazy. Well, anyway.
I know it's terrible. It's like hold music. It's everybody uses the same thing.
And somebody could probably get a raise for coming up with that. Do you know what I mean? That this is. Somebody was actually paid to come up with that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody has a million-dollar idea, but somehow I think this was more like a $29.95 idea.
That's right. All right. Well, let's go to the high limit of ideas. A rare signed Kobe Bryant card hit the auction block, and they're thinking it will sell for $1 million plus. Of course, the tragic loss of his life, the incredible career that he had, and the amazing person he was, all gives this provenance. But it's signed, and of course Kobe's known as the Black Mamba, was always known. And it is probably one of one. No other autographed version has hit the market yet. So this is, I guess, really extremely, extremely rare.
It is rare. It is something that is going to be well watched by a number of collectors, I'm sure, because there was in February of this year, earlier this year, there was a card that sold, and that brought $2 million. So this one is obviously it's signed. It has. You know, it's been graded, which also helps. But it'll be interesting to watch to see where that market is, because there are that entire, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, the card, sports cards in general, that entire market has really been skyrocketing.
Yeah, well, what's really rare about it? You would think there would be more than one of those cards signed. So right now,
I saw that too. That's a little odd, don't you think?
No. He signed it. I think the person he probably signed it early on, and the person who held on to it was just genius.
Well, yeah. what I'm thinking is as you know, we've talked about this in the past, when something rare, air quotes, comes up, after it sells, all of a sudden other ones start to come out of the woodwork. So I can't my question is, there's no way he could have just signed. I can't imagine that he just signed one card like that.
Well, but you have to understand the types of the way that the cards are produced. So What's significant is the cards are numbered, and 1 through 10 have they have this green emerald border that's on it, while 11 through 100 are red. So there could be other signs that are red, but not the green one, because the green one, it was only 1 through 10, and maybe those 10 people did not get to Kobe Bryant, and this individual did. So so that's where that is. And the one that I was telling you that sold for $2 million was a green card, but it was not signed. So this one has the potential because it also has the signature for breaking that $2 million mark. So I think that's why they're saying that. That's why the headline, you know, they're being conservative there. It could break a million. It definitely could break a million. And just depending on how crazy the bidding goes, they could also may even approach 2 million or break 2 million.
And also, it is an older card. It's from 1987. So, was it 87? Yeah, 1997, pardon me. But still, it's an older card. I mean, we talk about 1997 like it was yesterday, but now it's 2021.
22.
Stop reminding me how old I am.
I know. Well, it's terrible when you think that I think back to my time in the 70s. God, that was over 50 years ago.
Right.
What the hell happened?
I know.
You know, yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I just got an email from a classmate of mine. I graduated in 67. So he's still – every 5 years – or now at our age, I said, why don't we just do every 2 years? Because you never know if anybody's going to make it to five. And it just so happens that I didn't realize it, but this is going to be 56 years that I've been out of high school. It's like, oh my God. It's just it's unbelievable where the time goes. But yeah it's
it's a little scary, but anyways, time marches on. That's
yes, it does.
Yes. I want to speak about marching on. Christie's had their Hong Kong art auction, and $184 million set 11 new records. I didn't realize they kept records like that in the auction market, like in baseball and football and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how, as appraisers, that's really how we get the state of the market is from these reports and these articles and following the sales. So, yeah, they do keep records. And interestingly enough, when I first got started in this business with Tim and he was working at Christie's, they have auction records going all the way back to when Christie's began in the 18th century. Well, so yeah, they keep track of all of those things.
But as far as record prices and for what things sell for particular artists, they definitely do track those, because that really helps not only the specialists, but also, as Greg said, as appraisers and people looking at the art market, where those records are being established, how they're being established, and for what. Even with Hindman, you know, we did all of our fine art sales, and there were several artist records that were shattered for a Western artist. And then also for a Midwestern artist, there was Gertrude Abercrombie, actually. The pieces did amazing. And Fritz Schulder was another major Western artist that the items that came up for auction were just shattered what they typically sell for. So it's an interest. I think it's great because it also indicates this piece sold, it drew a lot of attention. There has to be those other value characteristics around it. Why did it sell for so much? Could it be the medium? Could it be the subject? Could it be the condition? All of those things, which they don't really report, but that's what we look at as appraisers. We say, why did this one, particular one, sell so well? And just like we talked about the Andy Warhol piece, I mean, all of these artists are having A lot of them are having banner years with these records being broken, and pieces coming to market that are selling well. And I think people are looking for a place to put their cash. They don't want to put it so much in the market that they're putting it more into the tangible items.
All right, yeah, especially the way Bitcoin is going.
Well, oh, there we go. We mentioned it again.
We didn't mention the three letters, and we're not going to mention. We're not mentioning those three letters. Those three letters are verboten.
Right.
Verboten, at least for another week or two. You know, this is a good news story, and I know that Greg, you'll like this, and Tim as well. A last minute crowdfunding donation has brought two Aboriginal artworks back to Australia. They were going up to auction, and the state government put this together and raised the money, and they bought them, and they're going back to where they belong.
Oh, that's great.
That is a good story. That's good to hear, because by now you know how I feel about all that stuff, and I think that's really terrific. That's the good beginning to a week to find something out good like that in the art world. So, that's great. I'm going to have to research. I'm going to find out. I have to find out how much it's going to sell for. Is it hasn't sold yet, or is it just coming up?
It sold here. Let me see if I can find how much it sold for. If they got it in here. Okay, here we go. It sold for, it was estimated at $300,000 to $400,000, selling for $378,000. Meanwhile, The second picture went for $52,000. So that was well past the estimate of $15,000. So between the two paintings, well over $400,000.
Wow, yeah, great.
One was a painting and the other was an engraved shield. Yeah. So it was more like a sculptural type of piece, but that's wonderful that was able to just go back to the country of origin. That's great.
Now I want to speak. Go on.
Tim actually read something to me this morning that at first listening it sounds like it might be a joke, but it isn't. Tell them, Tim, about that what you discovered in the Louvre.
No, yeah, that there was that over the weekend. I guess a man dressed up as an old lady put on the lipstick, the wigs, the dress, the whole thing, and got in a wheelchair and went into the Louvre. And when they were in front of the Mona Lisa, leapt from the chair, smeared cake on the windows, tried to beat the bulletproof glass of the Mona Lisa, and then spread roses all around. And it was an environmental protest, and before being tackled and I'm sure taken away. But there were all kinds of videos and things on social media. So I just thought, wow, what do the Mona Lisa, cake, flowers, and a cross-dressing man have in common? It's like, wow, what a weekend.
It's under under the category of, you can't make this crap up.
Well, the whole thing, just imagine the thought process that went into this. Okay, I want to make a social statement. Okay, I got to get a wheelchair. I got to get a cake. I got to get this. I got to get that.
Right. Well, I can't use a knife. I can't use a gun because they have to go through all that. Yeah.
So you get it all done there, and you're there, and instead of whatever your protest was, instead of you bringing attention to what you're protesting, you brought mockery to yourself and to that community, really, when you think about it.
Exactly.
I mean you couldn't have been less successful thinking that you were going to get access to the Mona Lisa. You shake your head and you what goes through the thought process, or what goes through
the
The next thing is, are they going to they have metal detectors now. Are they going to have to put in pastry detectors? I don't know.
cake detectors. I'll apply for that job. I'll sit there if I find cake, I'll eat it.
The cake. But, right.
But what better place to have cake thrown at an art than in France? Let them eat cake.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I'll give the person credit for that, at least. You know.
There is that.
I did see that story. I didn't see the video. I have to go Google that video and look at that video. I want to ask a question in our last couple of minutes here, and that's prints as opposed to real original works. Are prints valuable in the auction market?
Well, it depends on the artist, and it depends on how many are in the edition. There's a lot of things to take into consideration, and it depends on how valuable originals are. So if you're looking at a particular artist and the original works of art, whether it's watercolor or acrylic, and those become astronomically expensive, prints are a viable alternative that you can find maybe affordable. But some of the artists, like Andy Warhol, some of his prints are in the $50,000 to $70,000, $80,000, $100,000, $200,000 range, and they were affordable. More affordable, but you know, it's all relative. You know, like $20,000 or $10,000 in the '90s. You know, could have, depending on where you are in your career and what was going on, could have been unattainable. So there's a market for everyone, and it allows the artist to really change up some of the expressions, because some of the prints may be similar to like what their original artwork was done, but then when they do some of their prints and then certain runs, they can make some alterations, and there's a variety that's out there.
One of the other things to consider is that we'll take some of the Picasso drawings, for example. When they did reproductions, a series, and they were numbered, it also depends on the number in the series, you know, how many are in the series, as opposed to just like an open run, because Picasso being a good example, we had a client that had a number of the different series of the large pencil or ink pen and ink drawings that he had done that were in a run after the original. And if it comes from the estate, it's going to be a lot more expensive, obviously, and its provenance should be able to be discovered, as opposed to going, you know, you see some of these Picasso prints and their prints, and that's what's confusing, because the numbered series are technically also prints. They're reproductions of an original pen and ink. And that's what's kind of confusing. People think because they have a print of a Picasso that all Picasso prints are equal, and it's not the case. It depends on if it's from the original reproduction series. It also depends on how many were done. So I mean, yes, they can be. And right now, for example, Andy Warhol, as Tim had mentioned, the things that the prints, or the number of prints that on some of these are really, really high level, and then you can get some that are a little less expensive, but it's not the same as there was a very famous Picasso print. It was color, and it showed people dancing in a circle. Every kid in college had that print hanging on their wall, that poster hanging on their wall. But that, as opposed to a print from the original series that was done, is much different, much more valuable. So yes, prints can be very valuable, or they can just be a good representation of something that was original and be affordable.
Well, you've answered my question, because I've always wondered. I know I've seen prints that are very expensive, and to me it's like a photocopy, but it doesn't carry that much to me. But I guess if it's anything that's limited and it's a famous artist and it's a $1 million picture, anything that's a limited edition is going to have some value.
Well, if it helps people to understand, if you think of a photograph of, let's say, Marilyn Monroe, that was taken by one of the handful of artists that have become recognizable as her photographers, those were done in series as well, but you can find reproductions of those over and over and over again, and they have very little value compared to when they were first done with the original grouping, because they're usually the famous ones a lot of times are numbered, so you know how many are in the series. But Marilyn Monroe is a good example, because there are hundreds of thousands of reproductions, prints of Marilyn photographs. It doesn't mean that they don't have value. It means that they have much less value. And it's the same thing with a print or a lithograph of an original, just depending on who it is and how many were done in the original production, the original run of the reproduction.
All right. Well, thank you for the answer, guys. And I want you to have a good week down there. And are you both going to be at home base next week?
I will.
I'll be in Chicago next week.
Chicago. Well, if this is a time of year to go to Chicago, it's now.
Right.
Not in the dead of summer and not in the dead of winter.
Nope. That's right. That's why I'm going now.
All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Take care, Marshall. Great week.
Take care.
Bye, buddy.
Bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You'll find them on the web at tqag.com and at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Appraise This.